Thank you, praise team, for leading us this morning in worship. Before I get started on my message this morning, I would like to make a very special announcement. I just want to announce the engagement of Josh Brown and Maggie Kerfer.
You sly dog.
So, congrats. Actually, this is the first time that I've heard about it, but I've seen them together. So, I'm hoping that wasn't too bad thing. So anyway, congratulations, and of course, Josh is the son of Mark and Lori Brown, and Maggie is the son of. That was a mistake. She is the daughter of Jed and Chris Clifford. So anyway, congratulations to both families, and how exciting that will be. Especially if you stay here in Colfax and be part of our community, which we would love dearly. So, anyway, having said that, I have an open door over here and it just drives me nuts. So, excuse me for a second. It's just one of those things, folks. I'm sorry. I just keep envisioning someone's going to come through there and attack me while I'm preaching. Probably not, unless they go long. Then I don't have to worry about them. I have to worry about you. So, anyway. I'm finally starting to get into the Christmas spirit. I know it's the 9th of December. And it's taken a while for me to kind of get into that, but I'm actually slowly starting to listen to some Christmas music and kind of get into the swing of things. And of course, listening to the children and the children's program and seeing those precious little sheep. Aren't the sheep precious? Especially the ones with the ears on backwards. And then not on at all. So anyway, and the angels, and I tell you, Macy, that was great. My problem is I would have fallen over if I was standing up there, because I'm afraid of heights. I was thinking up there, you're almost as tall as your dad. So, anyway, great program. Enjoyed that very much. What we've been doing this Christmas season, I'm working on a cold, so my throat is a little bit problematic this morning. So, but what we've been doing this Christmas season is going back and looking at the Old Testament and looking at some of the prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at a very simple prophecy today. I didn't know how much time I was going to have because of the children's program. But I've got considerable time, so you probably will get a little bit early because we're just looking at one prophecy, one verse, and it's a very simple verse. But again, all these things tie together to show us that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of what was prophesied in the Old Testament, and what the Old Testament says the Messiah is going to be like, and how Jesus fulfills that. And so this morning we're going to look at the prophecy in the book of Micah. Now I'm just taking one verse out of the prophecy. It's a little bit longer than the one verse that we're looking at today. And again, if I'd gone and had a little bit more time, I would have covered more of those verses. But I'm sure you'll appreciate getting out a little bit early. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Micah chapter 5. Verse 2, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And today I am going to be using the new international version. So if you're used to me using the American Standard. I am just for today, I switched back because I think it made things just a little bit more understandable. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and it reads in there, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, and that your word points to one individual, one person, to Jesus Christ, to the Messiah, to the one who the Old Testament talks about and prophesies about, and to the one that the New Testament proclaims has come. Father, as we look this morning at this prophecy, speak to our hearts. Father, show us how it is that you work and how you have put together this history and how it all fits, Lord, and it all points to Jesus Christ. Lord, again, we thank you for the children that you have placed in this church. And we thank you for the way that they have ministered to us this morning and how they have shared the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would take everything that we hear today into our hearts and not just hold it there, but Lord, I pray that we would act on it and that we would be drawn closer to you and that we would understand you better. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for your word. Speak to us now through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This prophecy tells us two things about the Messiah. One is pretty evident. It tells us where the Messiah is going to appear, where he's going to come. Now, I hesitate in using the word where he was born because of what I'm going to say in a few minutes. But first of all, Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Now, we first hear of Bethlehem if we go back into the Old Testament and Mark, these verses aren't there. They're in your bulletin notes. But in Genesis chapter 35, verse 19, that's the first place we hear about Bethlehem. And they don't actually mention the name Bethlehem, but we learn that Rachel was buried there. And that's the first indication of this little town that we call Bethlehem. And then if we go a little bit farther in the Old Testament to the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1, verse 19, we find out that Bethlehem is the place where Ruth and Boaz meet and where they get together. And so that gives us a little bit more insight to Bethlehem, although it says really very little about it. And then we learn in 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 5, that Bethlehem is the place of the home of David, who was going to be king, because Samuel went to Bethlehem to anoint David as king. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, when we're looking at the genealogy of Jesus Christ or of the Messiah, we see that Boaz is mentioned there, as well as David is mentioned in there, in that genealogy, leading, of course, down to Jesus Christ being the of the heir of David. And so when we look at this prophecy, it's just basically saying where Jesus Christ is going to be born, or the Messiah is going to be born. Now, why is that important? Why is it important that they prophesy about this little town? For one thing, when I thought about this, is Bethlehem was, shall we say, kind of like another Colfax, in a way. Then I thought, no, that might be too good. It's more like another, shall we say, I don't want to insult anyone's towns here. I'm proud of Colfax. But can anything good come out of Colfax? I mean, you know, that's kind of what people were saying about, wait a second, Bethlehem? A king born in Bethlehem? Well, now look at your history. David was born in Bethlehem. So why isn't that that the Messiah can come out of Bethlehem? Because, you know, at that time, Jerusalem was the place. I mean, my goodness, if there's going to be a king of the Jews born, it would have been in Jerusalem. Because that was the big, impressive city. Or it maybe would have been in one of the other cities of the era of that time. Athens at that time was a big, prominent city in those days. Or Rome was a big, prominent city. But Bethlehem. So I think it was important that God tells us in the Old Testament that that's where Jesus is going to be born at, is in Bethlehem, so that when it happens, we'll actually believe that something big can come out of Bethlehem. Because Bethlehem was of no importance. I mean, I mentioned the things that were mentioned about Bethlehem in the Old Testament. And quite frankly, it was nothing that exciting that happened there. But the Messiah coming out of Bethlehem, out of this little town. And one of the other things I think that this is important to look at is how God uses things that we deem insignificant for great importance. You know, no one thought of Bethlehem as being an important place, and yet God chose this little town of Bethlehem. I almost want to break into the song, but we already sang it, so I don't need to do that. But he chose this little town to usher in the Savior of the world. It was in this little town that Jesus came. And so this little town of no significance at all in the realm of things is a place that God chose to bring his plan of salvation when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was born there. But then I kind of think, I just, you know, go a little bit farther, if God chooses a little town like Bethlehem for an important thing of having his son come to the world there, what does God want us to do? You know, I kind of joked that Colfax is insignificant in the grand scheme of things. We do have a quadruple. Not too many other people who do that. We do have a concrete river. But I have to tell you, as impressive as it is, the ones in L.A. are far more impressive. They're much bigger. They're much longer. They have less water in them. But, you know, so the concrete river is probably not, you know. I actually, you know, my thinking is that Colfax is a perfect location to build a dam. Because if you just would dam up that end of the valley, you'd have a great reservoir. Of course, Colfax would be underwater, but people would know us because we would be the reservoir. We would be the place underwater. You know, it's like, okay, so we're in kind of an insignificant place. But does that mean we're not important? Does that mean that God cannot use us here in Colfax, Washington, to do his will and to do great things in this world? He can, not only can he desires to use us. You know, we may be small and we may be in Eastern Washington, and you know, it just comes out, you know, when people ask, where do you live? I live in Colfax. South of Spokane. Oh, Spokane, yeah. Or if you say, you know, place, little town you got a ticket in when you went to the Cougar game? Oh, yeah, Colfax. No, that doesn't happen much anymore. I know that, which we're all very pleased about. If it ever did happen much, I don't know. I really don't know. I think that's just a fable. But, you know, as insignificant as we may think we are in the grand scheme of things, in God's eyes, we're not. We're not. And I think that we limit ourselves to what God wants to do in our town and even what he wants to use us for in this nation because of who we are and where we are. And yet, God chose Bethlehem to bring Jesus Christ into the world. What does he want to do with us here in Colfax? What does he want to do with this sleepy little town in a gully? What does he want to use us for? And it just makes me think that, you know, God, all through history, took very insignificant people and did very significant things with them. Does he want to do that with us? But we're here looking at a prophecy of the Old Testament that said that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. And Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And if we look a little bit longer, further into this prophecy here, it says that where Jesus Christ is going to come. And again, I said I hesitate to use the word born, because if we read the prophecy again, it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So, what is the prophet Micah saying here about the Messiah? This is a prophecy about the Messiah. Wasn't he born in Bethlehem? Wasn't that where Jesus was born? I mean, we just sang the song, so that has to be where he was born. So how is it that they can say that this ruler, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times? What is the prophet saying here? Well, he's telling us, really, that yes, Jesus Christ is going to come to this world, and the place that he is going to come is to Bethlehem, but that is not the beginning of Jesus Christ. That is not the beginning of the Messiah. The Messiah's life did not begin in Bethlehem. His time on earth began in Bethlehem. And he came to Bethlehem in the form of a child and grew up, and not in Bethlehem. He was there just a short period of time, actually. And but Jesus Christ didn't just start then. That's not, you know, we celebrate his birthday, and yet that is his earthly birthday. We can't celebrate Jesus' birthday because he always has been. He's from old. He has always been, because Jesus Christ is God. God the Son. We use that word quite often. And it's very true. Now, I am not going to go into a sermon on the Trinity here. I couldn't get it done in time. Again, I tell you all the time, those are the things I let Pastor Dean explain to you, is the Trinity. And he loves me for that, because he loves to talk things like that. But we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, we are celebrating the time when God the Son came to earth. It's not the time that he started to exist, because he has always existed. If we go to John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. Now the Word here is Jesus Christ. So we can read it this way: in the beginning was Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was with God, and Jesus Christ was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Well, God is eternal, and that's another concept that is hard for me to explain. He always was. Now, how can he always be? I'm going to leave that again for the theologians to talk about eternity, because that's something I have a hard time grasping. But he always was. And with God was Jesus Christ. And with God and Jesus Christ was the Holy Spirit. They've always been. What we celebrate as Christmas is God putting his plan for salvation into action by sending his Son to come to this earth in the form of a baby. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not about Jesus actually, his existence beginning. No, this is the beginning of his time on earth. That he comes as a child. But he comes for one distinct purpose, and that purpose is to bring salvation to his people. To proclaim God and to proclaim our need for a Savior, for a Messiah, which is Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 58 says, and this is Jesus' own word, he says, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Now, if you've ever studied the passage, the name "I am" for God, this is, goes back to Moses. When God says, when Moses says, "Who shall I say has sent me?" And God says, "I am, has sent you." Well, Jesus here is saying, before Abraham was born, so he is putting his claim in here to being part of the Godhead. Yes, I am. I was before Abraham. I was before Moses. I was before Noah. I was before Adam. In fact, Adam was created for me. See, the prophecy talks about the coming of the Messiah, but not, well, the coming of the Messiah, and also talks about the origins of the Messiah, which are from eternity. Jesus Christ has always been, and he always will be. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says, when he's talking of Christ, says, "Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." You see, what we are celebrating at Christmas time is that Jesus Christ came in the form of man. Now, he was still God, but he was also fully man. Another hard thing that we talk about, how can someone be whole, fully God and fully man? Because man is not God. But Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. So he has no beginning, and yet he does have a beginning here as a infant. And we sing about him this time of year, because this is God's visiting man with his Son, for a very distinct purpose, and that purpose is that he would live a life perfect, without sin, without flaw, without failing. And then at the end of what we would consider quite a short life, he willingly died on the cross, taking upon himself, being the perfect sacrifice. He took upon himself our sins. We talked about that prophecy last week out of Isaiah 53. the suffering servant. And how Jesus Christ uniquely fit that prophecy of dying on the cross and suffering, not for his own sins, but for our sins. And so when we celebrate Jesus Christ coming to this earth, when we celebrate Christmas, what we are really celebrating is God's plan of salvation for us. His plan, the way that he was going to reclaim man, redeem man to himself. And so we should be joyous at Christmas. We should be elated at Christmas, because we have been given the greatest gift that anyone could possibly give us. We have been given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can celebrate Christmas, that we can celebrate the time of Jesus Christ coming to this world. It wasn't his beginning, Lord. He's been with you forever, and he will always be with you. But Lord, it's the beginning of his ministry here, in that he lived a life of perfection. And yet he died on the cross, taking upon himself our imperfections and dying to them, that all who believe in him, all who accept him, Lord, will have life everlasting with you. Lord, I pray that this Christmas season, that we would just not celebrate Christmas for being Christmas, but that we would truly celebrate God's gift to man, salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your word. Apply it to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.